This morning our psalm reading comes from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 35. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow humbly before you on this day of Pentecost. We thank you for the sending of the Spirit, and we pray now that the Spirit will inspire us as we hear your words. Enlighten our hearts and minds, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and then chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as many of you know, I took a little vacation recently. I had a change of plans, as I think probably everyone now knows. I was originally scheduled to spend 9 days in the Grand Canyon with 21 people. But as the time got closer and closer, what I was feeling on my heart was a need for rest and solitude. And as the time got closer and closer, I was filled with dread at the thought of spending 9 days in a canyon with 21 people. And when I finally had the courage to confess that I didn't really want to make that trip, I was blessed once again by a good friendship. And my friend who had made the arrangements said very simply, "Then you should not go." Indeed, it was all I needed to hear. It was the encouragement I needed to change course and to listen to my heart, to what I believe truly was the nudging of God, to look in a different direction and to seek rest and solitude. Because I think God had some talking that he needed to do with me, and I needed that time of rest and solitude in order for that to happen. So here for just a moment, I want to share a bit of my heart with you. On that time of vacation, I had time to ponder. And part of what I was realizing was how quickly time passes and how time marches on regardless of our circumstances. We may have lost a loved one. We may have lost a spouse or a child or a grandchild or a friend in recent years. But time marches on. A member of the congregation may have moved away, but time marches on. We may have started a new job or a new adventure in what seems like just yesterday, but indeed, time marches on. And so I came to understand that in the ministry of Jesus Christ, in proclaiming the good news of the gospel, there is an urgency. There are things that need to be said and things that need to be done because time is marching on, and maybe we will not have an opportunity to do the things that God is calling us to do if we wait. And so when I looked at the lectionary for this morning's sermon, I had choices. I could have looked at the passage out of Acts, which I did last year and the year before. You know the one where it talks about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It's the very familiar passage. It's the one that probably 90% of pastors around the country are preaching on today. I could have preached on that. I'd done it before. It would have been much easier. But I said, no, I have a message that I need to proclaim. God is telling me time is marching on. And so when I saw that in the lectionary selections, there was the passage from John 16, where the words Spirit of Truth are there to describe the Holy Spirit. And we are here to acknowledge the coming of the Holy Spirit. I knew that this is what I wanted to focus on this morning. And the reason is, you see, truth is being challenged in our world today. The degradation of the truth and the decline in common decency and moral values is in the news daily. And I, as a pastor, an imperfect and humble pastor, feel an urgency to proclaim the truth because time marches on. Once we as a society have lost the appreciation for truth and moral character, it is hard to get it back. And so today, we acknowledge the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, and we sense the urgency with which Jesus was telling his message. Today is Pentecost, and we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Today, we'll look back to what Jesus said to his disciples about the Holy Spirit on the night before our Lord went to the cross. Jesus told his followers about the Spirit's threefold ministry as their counselor, as their witness and their teacher. And what he said was vital then, and it's still important today for our encouragement and instruction. What he said to them in the verses just preceding what we read this morning, He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Jesus pulls no punches in telling his followers that their situation in the world will be dangerous. Opposition will increase, moving from hatred to persecution to excommunication and even to death. These stages are seen in the early church's history, described in the book of Acts. But why does the world, including the religious world, hate Jesus' followers? Our Lord gives four reasons. That we as followers of Jesus are identified with him. That we do not belong to the world if we are indeed believers in Christ. That the world is spiritually ignorant and blind. And that the world is not honest about its own sin. How does the Holy Spirit, the counselor, encourage believers when they experience such hatred and opposition? It's primarily through the Spirit's testimony in Scripture. The Holy Spirit ministered to Jesus that way. And today the Spirit counsels us through Scripture, giving us words of encouragement and instruction. The Holy Spirit also witnesses to and through us during times of persecution. He reminds us that we are experiencing a fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, as Paul says. And that is a privilege to bear the reproach for his name, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us so that we can witness to the world. And Jesus told his disciples that persecution need not cause them to stumble. Indeed, as followers of Jesus, we can expect some degree of persecution. In particular, Jesus warned of persecution from religious people who think they are serving God. The word translated service in John 16:2 means priestly service. And this statement is applicable to Saul of Tarsus, the one that we have come to know as Paul, who thought he was serving God by persecuting, even killing Christians. As we face hardship in following Jesus, we can be assured that the Spirit, our counselor, will minister to us as he ministered to these first disciples. Now, for 3 years, Jesus had been with his disciples. He had protected them from attack, but now he was leaving. He had told them this news earlier that evening, and Peter had asked where he was going. However, Peter's question revealed more concern about himself than about Jesus. And also, his question centered on the immediate, not the ultimate goal. It was necessary for Jesus to explain why it was important for them that he return to the Father. The major reason is that the Spirit would come to empower the church for life and witness. But as Jesus told them, the Spirit could not come until he left. Also, the ascended Lord Jesus would be active as high priest, and he would be interceding for his people. Now, it's important to note that the Spirit comes in this particular way to Jesus' disciples, who are Jesus' co-workers, his temple. And the Spirit works with and through Christians to glorify Jesus by witnessing to a lost world. Jesus always gave his disciples just the right amount of truth at the best time. This is a mark of a great teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher today, and he follows the same principle, teaching us the truth that we need to know, when we need to know them, and when we are ready to receive them. We see the wonderful process used by the Holy Spirit to teach these first disciples, a process that reflected the New Testament. The Spirit reminded them of what Jesus had taught them, and it's reflected in the four Gospels. The Spirit guided them in all truth, reflected in the epistles, and he showed them things to come, leading them into what was humanly an uncertain and threatening future, and that is reflected in the book of Revelation. The work of the Holy Spirit is never divorced from Jesus, the living word, or from Scripture, the written word. He will testify about me. He will bring glory to me. People who claim that the Spirit of God led them to do things contrary to the example of Jesus or the teaching of Holy Scripture are mistaken and are being led astray. Jesus is the truth, and God's word personified in Jesus and conveyed through Scripture is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And where the Holy Spirit is truly at work, truth prevails. The teaching of the Spirit through the apostles was not different from the teaching of the Spirit through Jesus. The same Holy Spirit communicated the truths found in the four Gospels, the epistles, Revelation, and Acts. And today, the Spirit uses Holy Scripture to enlighten us with God's truth and to enrich us with God's treasures. And one final note, the truth that the Holy Spirit guides us into is the truth that is Jesus. The Holy Spirit and his ministry is to reveal God to us in the person of Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Then he sends us out with that truth to bear witness to a disbelieving world. So how blessed we are as followers of Jesus to be indwelt and led by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God. As our counselor, he guides and encourages us, and how greatly we need that at all times, but particularly in times when we face great challenges as we do today. As witness to Jesus, he leads us to testify concerning our Lord. And as our teacher, he leads us ever deeper in participating in the life of the triune God, from the Father in Christ through the Spirit. So indeed, I feel an urgency to call all of us as believers together and say, the world needs to hear the truth, and we need to stand up against those who fail to tell the truth. May our hearts and minds, indeed our whole beings, be ever open and responsive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, you are the truth. Give us your truth this day. Help us to see the truth about ourselves, that we may see ourselves as we really are. Help us to see the truth about life, that we may see what we ought to do and not only what we want to do. Help us to see the truth about you, that we may really know your wisdom and your love, so that we may trust you completely and obey you fully. Lord, we celebrate happy times and blessed moments in our lives, and we thank you for loving us and for providing us with joy. Indeed, life would be so difficult without joy, and we are grateful for your joyful spirit that is available to us. But we also know that many struggle to find that joy. There are those who are sick, or who grieve, or who are lonely. There are those who are hungry, or those who live without love in their lives. Lord, we lift to you all of those whose names have been brought to you this morning. We pray for those who are in need of healing, in need of comfort, in need of encouragement. And Lord, we do thank you. We thank you this morning for the way that you touched Ladina's life, that you healed her and gave her the joy of now seeing her daughter graduate from high school. We thank you for your compassion and for your grace, Lord. So thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. And guide us this day and always to be true disciples, sharing your word and your grace with a troubled world. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.
bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for your love and your compassion. We thank you for the way that you give us the opportunity to share your truth with others. And Lord, we pray now that you will use these gifts that we return. We pray that you will bless them and use them to bring glory and honor to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's join together in hymn number 425.